The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Conversation I had with people over the course of this week, I was reminded of a prayer that has been attributed to Archbishop Oscar Romero. And he didn't write it. It was, I believe, written for a funeral service. It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and to do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. And I often need to be reminded of one of those lines, the whole prayer, the concept that we are ministers and not messiahs, often. How many of us want to just fix things? Just fix people, right? But we're ministers, not messiahs. The word minister means servant. And we have one who shows us how to be a servant, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are joined to follow this servant, our Messiah, through the waters of holy baptism, and through the waters of holy baptism, we are all ministers, right? In our first lesson from Isaiah, God is addressing a nation in anguish and pain. But God promises to send a servant that will bring justice to Israel. But not just Israel, to all nations. Now, in a conversation with some folks in our congregation this week, the question is always, how do we minister to our community? And they essentially said that we need to minister to people who are hurting, who are lost, who are lonely. And Isaiah is speaking to the pain of exile. But I can't help but to think, in reflecting on this conversations that I've had throughout the week, is that there are people in our community today that are experiencing a pain of exile as well. There are people in our community that have been exiled by their family, their friends, society at large, and even their own church. And in Isaiah, God is speaking to a pain of a people, Israel, and they've been on quite a journey. They were delivered from captivity in Egypt. God made a covenant with them and brought them to the wilderness, to the land of Canaan. They became a nation. They built a temple for God. They had their ups and downs. They had military victories and losses. And when they weren't faithful, when they weren't faithful to God's covenant, He had the prophets call them back. But one day they found themselves defeated by the Babylonians. Their temple destroyed, their identity as a nation just all in shambles. Life as they knew it was no more. When we are lost, when it seems like our enemies have won, when evil prevails, nobody is held accountable, feels like God is absent, God is weak, or has God just handed us over? How could all this happen to God's chosen people? And again, today, it's a question that many people of faith and even no faith ask when bad things happen. How could this happen? You're faithful, yes? How could this happen? God is all powerful, all loving, yes? It certainly creates an identity crisis for Israel. It does for us as well. But God did not abandon or forget Israel. The promise we hear in Isaiah is that a servant will transform Israel and the entire world. What we learn at Epiphany, and that's emphasized today in the feast of the baptism of our Lord, is that God is a God for all nations. That God sends a servant not to be a dictator, but a liberator. This is a liberating God. In holy baptism, we are freed by this liberating God, not held captive to some kind of angry, dictator-like God that some perceive us to worship and belong to. And that God's justice and liberation is indeed for all people. Which brings me back again to those conversations I had throughout this week. Because I give thanks to God for that spirit of liberation that is flowing through the disciples here in this congregation. Because the question and answers isn't looking to how to get more members on the rolls, how to get warm bodies in pews. The questions and answers isn't about programs or events that serve as boxes we just check off to give our institution a sense of accomplishment. The question is, how can we serve other people? It's not even how can they serve us. We are ministers, not messiahs. And as we heard in Isaiah, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I think in Luke's gospel, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah. Some of these words might sound familiar, right? It says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. We are joined to this covenant. We are covenant people, servants and ministers to the waters of baptism, called to be a light to the nations. To share the love of God with those who feel like they've been exiled, who feel like they are captive to the sins of a dark and broken world. Now, we don't fix them. We don't save people. because we're ministers. We're not messiahs. Guess what? They have a messiah. It's not you and it's not me. It's Jesus. We have a messiah. It's Jesus. Can't save yourself either, in case you're wondering that as well, right? God has sent his servant that fixes, heals, and gives new and abundant life eternal. We sing like our gathering hymn, All Are Welcome, and it's such an easy concept, I think, to just, yeah, all are welcome. We see it on tons of church marquees. You drive anywhere, right? Everybody's welcome in any church, anywhere, right? What do we mean behind those words of welcome, right? And our scriptures today give us a sense of how God continues to expand that welcome. The reason we are all sitting here, I don't think it's far-fetched to say that we're all Gentiles, right? Right? I mean, if you do your 23andMe, we might be, I think I'm like 1% Ashkenazi Jewish, but like for the most part, I'm Gentile, right? We're all here because of God's expansive love of including us in the family of God. So we discern constantly what it means to truly welcome, to minister, and to serve those who have been pushed out on the margins. Because we too have been brought into this new life with the living God. We too hear that voice that God has claimed us as beloved children through the waters of holy baptism. I love that the psalm we said today, the voice. That's the voice of God saying to you too. You are a beloved child of God. With you, God is well pleased. Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, you have been made well. Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, we know what it means to imitate the servanthood of Christ in the world because we are ministers, servants, pointing to our Messiah. It's not a ministry that we're called to sustain the institutions or perpetuate a status quo. It's to be with the captive, the marginalized, and those hurting in our congregation, in our community, throughout the world. And with the love of Jesus, as ministers, we can comfort the hurting, welcome and include the marginalized, and release the captives from the shame and judgment of a harsh, dark, and broken world. But it's understanding our role in being ministers and servants. God does not call the qualified. That's one of my favorite lines. But he equips the call, right? Equips the call. All of us have been called. We truly embody what it means to be ministers to the waters of holy baptism, the concept of the priesthood of all believers. We all have a role. You all have gifts to share the love of Jesus in this world, to point to a Messiah who brings justice, who brings heaven to earth, and who gives each and every one of us